So your laptop, your iPhone, whatever, will join the pineapple and it passes the internet traffic through. So it works on your end. It looks just like you're on the Starbucks Wi-Fi, but all of your traffic is being sniffed. So all of your plain text passwords, as you're entering those, will get transmitted. They're not encrypted from there because it's open networks, and this pineapple device records them. So this is probably one of the most common scenarios for hackers. And again, it's not that advanced.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Super You podcast. It's the podcast designed to unlock and unleash your inner superpower. I'm Jake with Equalman Studios. Welcome to the show. Today, Eric sits down with Rick Jordan. Rick is the CEO and founder of Reach Out Technology and has become a nationally recognized voice on cybersecurity, business, and entrepreneurship. He breaks complex topics down to approach concepts, and he's not afraid to challenge his audience, listeners, and viewers, and push them to think differently. In this episode, Rick offers the top three tips for avoiding cyber attacks. He explains what a Wi-Fi pineapple attack is, best practices for small businesses to keep their information safe and secure, what parents can do to keep their kids safe from cyberbullying, and the most dangerous social media platform in 2024. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Super You Podcast, a conversation with Rick Jordan.
Well, welcome to the show, Rick. It's so good to have you on here, Rick Jordan. Rick Jordan of Rick Jordan TV fame. But I've got so many questions from our listeners. It's probably the most I've ever received because you were going to touch on, we're going to start with your expertise, which is a lot, but we're going to start with cybersecurity. Both from an individual perspective, also a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs listen to this show. And then if time allows, then we'll dovetail into personal branding, but also you're starting to acquire companies as well, which will be interesting for our audience, obviously, that have small businesses and large businesses and medium businesses. So it'll be really good. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, what's shaking? It's good to be here, man.
Yeah, so good to have you. So the top question is like a top five. Everyone has a smartphone, whether you're an entrepreneur or an intrapreneur, whether you're a Fortune 500 CEO. What are the top five mistakes that we make on our smartphone that make us vulnerable?
I was just on News Nation on this. It was about a month ago. You can find the whole appearance on any of my social media channels. But they were talking about the Apple update for stolen phone protection. You know, and the craziest thing to me was that this would happen. There was a dude that went to prison, you know, made over like $500,000 on this. It was a whole Wall Street Journal article about it. The way he would access their bank accounts and their Coinbase accounts, all of their crypto wallets, everything, he'd be in a bar and be like, you know, hey, let me put my contact in your phone. So everybody would just like hand the phone over to this dude. And within like 5 to 10 seconds, because he would ask, he's like, oh, it locked itself. You know, what's your PIN? And then this is called social engineering, legit. It's called social engineering. And then that question would allow them to let down their guard. And they'd be like, sure, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is. He'd punch it in. And within 5 to 10 seconds, he would change the Face ID. He would change the iCloud password. And then he'd have full access to the phone. And then he'd either keep it, walk away from it. But if you have Face ID set up, and you give it to somebody else and they change it to their face, now they've got access, just like Chase, Bank of America. They all open those apps open, dude, with your face.
Yep.
And so the biggest thing, it's like you're talking about top five. The biggest thing is don't freaking give your passcode to anybody. It's nothing cybersecurity related. It's just like human privacy. That's all it is. You know, but that's the biggest part that I fight in cybersecurity that my team fights is people willingly giving away their passcodes and their passwords to phishing scams, to somebody in the bar, to a spouse, right? Pillow talk, all of this. And that's how people get in and wreak all this havoc for 98% of the time. So you're talking like top five, right? I can give you some more, but dude, that's the biggest one. Number two and number three, I would say have multi-factor authentication on all of your accounts, like especially your banking, everything like that. And the third is really just make sure that you're using complex passwords or a password manager. Almost everything comes back to that. It's very difficult for somebody to just brute force, we call it brute force in our industry, hack their way into this thing without having that information. And nobody's going to spend that time. You have to look at it like a business, right? It's almost like Pablo Escobar, right? Pablo Escobar ran cocaine for years. I always use this example. Pablo Escobar had kids. He was a family man. This was just his business. It's not personal. They're not attacking you personally. You just have data and money that they can get after to build an empire, to put food on the table for their kids. You know, it's that human of a scenario. So as soon as you stop thinking about the dude in the hoodie sitting in the corner in the back room and you start thinking about you and me, like looking at us, right? I always do like a family from Sri Lanka when I'm talking on stage about that. It's like, these are the guys. See that nice looking family from Sri Lanka? These are the people that are trying to get into all your crap. So it's, put that aside, but just start understanding that these very simple measures are the best things to protect you. The simplest things are. You don't need a whole bunch of huge, expensive things as long as you're doing the basics.
You mentioned password managers. Some argue that, well, then they just have one place to hack. Then they got all your passwords if they get in that password manager. What are your thoughts on someone says that, or what's the pros and cons of the password manager? Is that true? Like, hey, that's just one place. If they get into that one vault, then they have access to all your passwords.
Yeah, that has happened with some. You know, I remember the biggest breach recently was probably LastPass. It might have been a year ago now at this point. I was going to say a couple months, but it might have been a year ago. And while they still are vulnerable, I will always say this, there is nothing that is 100% safe. However, a password manager will get you closer to that. So while factually, yes, it's true that if your vault is hacked, now all of your passwords can also be leaked. Sure. At the same time, I don't even know my banking password to my bank because it's just stored and it's random and they are encrypted within the password manager. You know, two of the best ones that I would recommend using, obviously LastPass was just hacked a year ago. I used to use them until their big hack, you know, but internally Keeper is a big one. That's
Keeper.
Phenomenal.
Okay.
Yes. And they even embed two-factor authentication. So you don't even have to have an app, which means as you share like a vacation site with your spouse or something like that, you can share those 2FA codes so you both can see them and log in for legitimate reasons. It's like, I know I just said, don't ever give your password to anybody, but the password managers are the most secure ways to share them for the legitimate reasons. You can actually share a password to a site without actually allowing that person you shared it with to even see what the password is.
Okay.
It'll just pre-fill it onto the web form for them without you actually being able to see it. Log them in. They are extremely secure. Keeper's a great one. One Password is the other one that I would recommend.
Password and Keeper. I like it.
Still do it. I understand there are vulnerabilities, but they are the ones that will actually keep you safe, at least safest, from all of these other things we're talking about today.
Okay, now that makes sense. And then a lot of people have a fear of public Wi-Fi. So you're at a coffee shop, you're at a hotel. And then is it hard for someone to hack you? Like, they could obviously look over your shoulder. If they saw you type in your password, then that's probably why you want to do it in a public space. But like you mentioned, is it difficult for them if you're on, what are the vulnerabilities if you're on a public Wi-Fi? And is that less secure than, say, your AT&T or your Verizon on your phone? Walk us through that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, great questions. Using your own hotspot on your phone is the safest route when you're out in public. If you're going to join Wi-Fi, if you're doing the open method, that's fine. There's some things that I will still join public Wi-Fi for at a Starbucks, whatever it is, but not my banking stuff, man. Not secure things. You know, if I'm just going to hop on to, I don't know, like Monday.com, which is an app that we use internally at the company to manage
projects. Yeah, we use that.
Nice. Yep, exactly. There's not a lot of confidential information. Actually, there's no confidential information that we put into that system, you know, especially not personally identifiable information. It's helping manage projects, you know, so I'll log on to that. That's okay. But not my banking site. And I'll tell you why, because there's these things called pineapples. You know, and you can Google this. A pineapple is actually something that will broadcast and act as a bridge. So if you're in Starbucks, you know, it says like Starbucks Wi-Fi, whatever the idea of that network is, this will broadcast the same thing and it'll form a bridge to the real Starbucks Wi-Fi. So your laptop, your iPhone, whatever, will join the pineapple and it passes the internet traffic through. So it works on your end. It looks just like you're on the Starbucks Wi-Fi, but all of your traffic is being sniffed. So all of your plain text passwords, as you're entering those, will get transmitted. They're not encrypted from there because it's open networks, and this pineapple device records them. So this is probably one of the most common scenarios for hackers. And again, it's not that advanced. It's not, you know, like we were talking before, people are not trying to hack in, trying millions of password combinations into your phone, into your computer. There are much quicker ways and much more efficient ways to get those through these methods. So when you're there, you can either use your phone as a hotspot or use a VPN connection, because that puts a nice encryption tunnel around it so that you're safe if somebody is there sniffing on the traffic.
Okay, no, that's good. And then they even do an episode on Silicon Valley, Pineapple in the Middle, where essentially the quote unquote hacker walks in, and these hackers, like Rick mentioned, it could just be like a regular Joe Schmo. They just have a router slash pineapple in their backpack and they sit down, and then to Rick's point, it looks exactly like you logged into Starbucks, but you're actually logged into that router or pineapple that's sitting directly in the backpack to the nice looking man or woman that's sitting there sipping their coffee, and basically they're getting all your information. So in short, what I'm hearing is obviously don't go to anything. Definitely don't log into anything on Wi-Fi, but definitely don't go to anything critical like your bank account or anything that's critical in those areas, and use your hotspot instead if you absolutely need to get on and make sure no one's looking over your shoulder, all that kind of fun stuff. So that's fantastic. That's really, really helpful. Businesses. What about businesses? Small business, medium-sized business, there's scares, obviously ransomware. What are the main things that they should do to help protect their businesses?
Yeah, there's it's not out yet. We're actually putting together a bundle with Reach Out that's specifically geared towards this. It's kind of like the fundamentals. So I'll tell you what some of them are today. Because it's not like where I said before, because we were talking personally, like consumer base, right? Where I said, hey, you can get away with the fundamentals and you'll be okay. That's not the case with businesses by any means, because businesses are 100% a target. You know, because you can do ransomware attacks, like you were just talking, phishing attacks that cover huge swaths of businesses. You can do these in bulk. It's almost like sending out a marketing email campaign, you know, to where you're like sending it to a whole list and you're counting on that 0.5% response. Mm-hmm. It's very similar for small businesses, you know, because they're sending out these huge blanket emails, these phishing attacks. As long as they get back 0.5%, they're okay and they're making their money from the hacker perspective. It's just a game of numbers. So some of the fundamentals, we mentioned one before, multi-factor authentication, 2FA, right? There's providers that are out there that need to do this. One that we actually use internally as a tool for us is called Duo, D-U-O. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you're just putting this stuff into place for you, that's a managed scenario for that. So even people that log into like a Windows computer, it enables two-factor authentication for that. Not just a bank account or other websites that your business may use. It's everything that's covered.
Everything. You know, Duo does that. Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
That makes sense. Two.
Okay. Then, number two is something called EDR, Endpoint Detection and Response. And I'm going to dispel a myth here, because it is, in essence, if you want to look at it this way, next generation antivirus. The antivirus that you buy from Best Buy or Target or wherever will not help you as a business. Those things are old school. They were called fingerprint based. You know, to where every virus looked the same, whether it was on your computer, on my computer, on my phone, you know, on my cousin's computer, whatever, those files, those signatures looked the same. So there was a great database that was kept up, similar to like an FBI database that said, hey, this is Rick Jordan, hands down, whether he's in Chicago, LA, Texas, wherever, when this fingerprint shows up, it's Rick Jordan. You know, just like it'd be like where this virus shows up, where this fingerprint, this digital signature shows up, it's this virus.
Yeah.
That's not the case today, because these morph and change from computer to computer. There is no more fingerprint base. So EDR, Endpoint Detection and Response, looks at the behaviors of this file rather than what it actually looks like on the drive. The behavior says, why is this PDF that this dude just opened trying to contact China?
Okay.
This is an odd behavior for a PDF. Or when they opened it, why is it all of a sudden doing a scan of the network to find out what other computers are on the network? That's an odd behavior for this Word document. So at that point, it'll lock that down and sandbox it because it's in like a fraction of a second, man, when these things happen. And it is artificial intelligence based. Mm-hmm. It's machine learning. And as these things continue to happen, it keeps getting better and better. But that's EDR. That's something that you really can only, unfortunately, purchase from a service provider. Because the best ones that exist are SentinelOne and Carbon Black, period. And the third is Huntress. We use a combination of those that reach out for all of our customers. And you cannot, first off, Huntress, you can't buy yourself. SentinelOne, you have to buy, I think it's a minimum of 2,500 licenses now. You know, and Carbon Black is the same way. But these guys have 100% efficacy rates. They're phenomenal, you know, and they are what any business, regardless of size, needs.
You know, and you say you like, can or can't purchase those. You can't,
unfortunately, no.
So you go through a service provider, you said?
Exactly, yeah. So whoever you're working with, I mean, if it's reach out, that's great. If it's not, fine. There's hundreds of thousands of us across the United States. We're the only one that's public, I'll say that. And we're really, really freaking badasses at what we do. At the same time, make sure that the service provider has this as an offering to yourself. You know, and there's other things that, you know, in this foundational stack of spam protection, obviously, there's SASE, which is a secure access, secure endpoint for remote workers.
Yep.
You know, that's the next gen VPN for businesses. There's also phishing protection. That's another one that's in that list. And then there's also data recovery and restoration. Those are some of the fundamentals because regardless of all this, dude, there is still somebody at any organization. We'll just call him Bob. Okay. Sorry to all the Bobs out there, but there's always a Bob in every company that will click on anything. Yep. And that Bob will enter his password just like we started the conversation. And then that hacker has keys to the kingdom to inject that ransomware. So the recovery will help you take the entire network back in time to a point prior to that happening.
Okay, very fascinating. No, it's wow. This is just a lot to uncover, which is good. It's really good. Our listeners are loving this. I'm loving it. Good. So it's good. Yep. Switching gears just real quick, because I do want to get back to reach out. And just a lot of us have kids out there. Bullying, protection for the teens. Let's focus on teens, girls, because that's the biggest issue really right now, sure, of many, but it's a big one. So bullying, just high level, what can we do as parents? What's a good approach?
I'm going to give you probably a different approach than what you were expecting. And I was talking on Newsmax with Bob Sellers about this a little while back too. It had to do with the algorithm and the body shaming for teenage girls, like I'm sure you're getting at here. My kids, you know, this is more of a parenting thing than I believe a technical thing or an algorithm thing. So my kids, as soon as they were 13, you know, I have 16-year-old twins now. So we're talking 3.5 years ago. I have a younger son who just turned 14. So he's been on now for about a year. You know, I waited until that point. You know, I mean, that's the terms of service for Instagram, Facebook is 13 years old, where they can have their own accounts. I know so many kids that are on prior to that. You know, I would say wait. Please, as parents, wait to that point because there's some emotional maturity that can happen first to where I know that they will handle things better, like we're talking about, like the bullying, like the body shaming, to where there is, Gary Vee talks about this too, man, because I fully agree with him. You need those years to build the self-esteem within your kids before they get on and they face this stuff. And then when they do get on, I remember sitting at a restaurant with my kids. I'm like, you just turned 13. That's awesome. With my twins, let's sign you up for Instagram right now. And they're like, oh my God, Dad, that's so great. You know, like, yeah, okay, here we go. And I'm like, here's the one condition. Your profile is always public.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that anything you put on the internet will be traced back to you, whether your account is private or not. So anything you put up there, you need to understand that somebody will see it at some point. There's no animosity whatsoever when it comes to social media. Although a lot of people think that there is, even adults, right, that have emotional intelligence issues. We'll just throw it out that way. They'll think they're anonymous with their comments and everything else. Like there's no real world repercussions. Yep. But when you have good parenting like that, you wait till they're emotionally mature, that those development years, to fill them with that self-esteem and build them up with their own self-identity. they turn 13, you make sure their profiles are public so they understand there is no animosity on the internet. And then you keep discussing this at the dinner table or any chance you possibly can with them on FaceTime, whatever. They will bring these things up to you when you follow those steps.
Love it. No, super helpful. Just reminding them and also making them go public, because it's going to be public anyway. So your profile is going to be public. If there was, what do you think is the most damaging social media tool out there today? I mean, we've got Instagram, we've got TikTok, we've got YouTube, Snapchat. Which one do you think, and I've heard different opinions on this, but I'd be curious to know, which one do you think is the most dangerous of all? If you had to pinpoint one that you could say, like, let's just kind of twilight that one for the next 2 years and see if it helps society, which one would you kind of twilight?
I'd love to twilight Snapchat. And, yeah, you know, I have a profile on there because I engage with a couple of people, but I mean, I seriously might have, like, I mean, I've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of Instagram followers, right? I might be connected with like 20 people on Snapchat. That's it. You know, and it comes back to what I was just talking about with the anonymity. Snapchat gives you a sense of false anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can set all the messages self-destruct. There's certain things you can save, of course, but it gives you a false sense of security. And regardless, I mean, I know it gives you the screenshot notifications and everything, but as soon as you send something to somebody, if that person, you know, has a falling out with you or whatever it is, who cares if you got notified that they took a screenshot? Yep. Now they have the screenshot in their possession. They can still send it to anybody. Yeah, you know, that's the thing, is that it's this false sense of security that I believe that it promotes. There's not another platform that really has risen to the top like Snapchat has on the basis of a false sense of security and anonymity. So please, let's twilight that for 2 years.
Yeah, I like that. That's well said. And that's the most popular response that I received for exactly the reasons you gave. So that's super helpful to hear from one of the world's foremost experts. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet.
And as we wrap things up here in the next couple of minutes, I do want to hear, why did you go public with the company? And then who are you out there? Because a lot of listeners, you probably helped them. But why'd you go public? Any interesting stories around that, by all means? And then also, who are you looking to? You're looking to acquire companies, and some of our listeners might be said company. So I just gave you a bunch there. But basically, why'd you go public? Any kind of interesting things around that? Who are you helping? And then last but not least, you're in the mode of looking at buying companies. So tell us a little about that as well, please.
Yeah, you bet. I went public to complete a roll-up, which is acquiring companies. You know, I'm taking a lot of smaller, they're called managed service providers, cybersecurity and IT providers, under $5 million in revenue, and making them one larger company. You know, in essence, that's what a roll-up does. And then you gain benefits from things like economies of scale, you know, lower expenses from consolidation of all those things, you know, greater buying power as you're a larger company. It's something that's needed in our industry. That's the first reason. The second is because everybody told me that it was a dumb project. For real, I'm like, we'll just see how dumb it is. You know, so when everybody else tells me this is not the right way to go, I'm like, there's got to be a reason for this. You know, so as I look more into it, it gives you greater access to public capital as you're trying to grow the business, specifically to fund our acquisitions. You know, so that it's greater access to dollars in order to accomplish the vision. Mm. And on the tail end of that too, we're building the nationwide brand, which doesn't exist right now. As a public company, that's the best way to go. You know, because you are literally in the public eye. It increases transparency. It increases authenticity. All of our financials get posted. There's not really anything that we can hide, like we were talking about a little earlier. And lastly, I want to create wealth for everybody that gets involved. There's no better way to do that than with securities on an exchange where they can trade them. They can see their value increase. So it's like everybody gets a piece of the pie. So every company that gets acquired by ReachOut, they get shares in the company. Every employee we hire on gets shares in the company. So everybody benefits from this, from the sum of the whole parts, which is greater than just all the individuals by themselves.
No, I love it. No, congratulations. That's not easy to do. And then one more time, which companies, it sounds like $5 million or less in revenue, that are dealing in cybersecurity? Is that what you're looking to roll up?
Yep, especially IT side, because as I mentioned about some of the downfalls of some, remember I said like you have to have at least 2,500 licenses in order to break the barrier with SentinelOne. It's not really, those tools are not really financially accessible to smaller MSPs, to smaller managed service providers, at least in the way that makes a difference. You know, so having that greater buying power is one reason to come underneath, but Dude, scaling can suck. I did it. You know, you get the headaches as a business owner. You get all those things kind of thrust upon your shoulders, payroll, everything else. The people that just want to are happy with doing jobs, business development, sales, technicians, all of that. It's just giving them a home, man, where they can do what they want to do.
Love it. Giving them a home. That's so good. And thanks for giving us so many insights here. It's fascinating across the board. I know I learned a ton, and these are the questions. Like, people are so excited to have you on, Rick, because they're like, oh, what if I'm at Starbucks? Like, why can't I get on the Wi-Fi and all that fun stuff? So how can people find out, get more resources from you? How can they find out more about you? Where are you located?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, follow me on Instagram at Mr. Rick Jordan. It's Mr. Rick Jordan on all social platforms. I use Instagram for a lot of the motivational, inspirational stuff that I do, a lot of business advice. Twitter now these days, X, is used a lot for the public company and announcements like that. That's where everybody goes for that kind of information. You know, so those two platforms I'm most active on.
Love it. Love it. Mr. Rick Jordan, thank you so much for all the insights and the time. I hope to see you in the green room out there on a stage where we're sharing the stage again. So it'll be great. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thanks.
So thanks again for listening to today's Super You podcast. Again, it's a podcast designed to unlock and unleash your inner superpower. And if you want to pay it forward, make sure you go post a review for the Super You podcast, because what that will do, it'll allow others that aren't familiar with our podcast to discover it. And hopefully that allows them to unlock and unleash their inner superpower. So that's it for today's show. I'm your host, Equal Man, reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
Seven.
Six.
Five.
Four.
Three.
Two.
One.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.